and by the way, sorry, my call's a little late. Every time I saw a lightning strike, I put it off 30 minutes here. And
I was That's a great line.
I didn't want to take any chances anyway, so. Guys, I've kind of changed my... I've tried during this horrible decade, basically, that we've had to change my way of viewing Tennessee football where I can get some enjoyment out of it. I'm taking every win any way I can get it.
Yep.
I'm taking every positive I can see out there. And anybody that can watch those young running backs we got and those young receivers and the way that line's improved and this special human being we have at quarterback and not have a little pride and get some enjoyment out of it, we're just too jaundiced in our view if we can't do that.
I would, The day where you have to overanalyze something so much that you can't enjoy it, why do it?
That's carried over into other parts of my life, too. It's just like the Channel 10 news came on a while ago, and I was waiting for the weather. And the weather girl come on there, and she's as cute as she could be, but it wasn't Ellis. I was disappointed. And I thought, you know what? It's not 1998 right now for us, for our football program. I can't be disappointed on a night like tonight just because we gave up a bunch of yardage.
Mm-hmm.
Because what we did every time they came down there and really put it to us, we didn't go crawl under the bench like we've done in the past. We came right back at them and put points on the board.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Freddie, isn't it safe to say the best performance in the whole game was by that Bowling Green defensive tackle that lost his shoe, couldn't get off in time, and went down like a sniper, took him out on the 5-yard line?
That was an Academy Award performance.
And no penalty. I don't get that.
No, I don't get it either, because here's the thing, guys. I saw this with Chip Kelly and the Eagles last year. If Tennessee really attempts to play fast like that the way they did, there will be teams jaking injuries. You can rest assured, when they start that deal like they had it tonight going in those first couple drives, you're going to see guys kick their shoes off. You're going to see guys grab the back of their legs. You're going to see guys act like they're fainting. You're going to see all kinds of that. So Butch Jones better make the point to every official involved. This is going to be an issue here. We're trying to play fast.
The other thing is, too, Tony, and it was something Russell said, but I can't remember what it was that made me think about, you know, we were supposed to be playing UAB tonight. And if we had played them, we were originally scheduled to play them, we wouldn't have learned one thing about our football team. We wouldn't have found out where we need to work and where we need to be coached up a little bit, like this guy tonight showed us. And by the way, I looked in that Phil Steele book sometime not too long ago, and this quarterback tonight was ranked in Steele's top 25, and I believe there was just one other quarterback on our schedule that was rated above him.
And who would that have been? Do you know?
It was the Arkansas guy, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, Allen, he's a nice player.
But that might sound profound until I remembered that Steele's number one guy was that guy from Penn State who looked horrible out there tonight.
Sackenberg. In all fairness to Sackenberg, he's got a terrible offensive coordinator. They've got a terrible system for him. He doesn't have much around him. He had 10 sacks today with Temple. 10 sacks to the Temple Owls. I want somebody to digest that for a second. And he was hurried about 8 or 9 more times. Like Freddie. Now you tell me, a guy that you got no chance when Temple's sacking you 10 times.
No, that guy was going after the Golden Statue Award back there that Worley left for him. That was pitiful, to be truthful with you.
Yeah, did you see it? Did you watch any of that when the when we went into the delay? Yeah, so I turned that on. I couldn't believe it. I'm sitting there going, that is not Temple doing that to somebody.
The other thing that I took a lot of heart in tonight, and I started watching for it intentionally because I noticed it by accident. I saw Wolf make two blocks on one play. He blocked on the line of scrimmage and went down and blocked for Kamara as he was still running. And I started watching our other linemen. You know, we had a lot of guys putting forth enough effort that they were making two blocks on the play.
That's a great point, man. And I'm going to put that in my blog Sunday. That's a great point.
And just, if nothing else, guys, let's enjoy the effort and enjoy the ride with this young program and keep improving. And we've got some football players over there now. And it's all about matchups nowadays in college football. And we may have had one of our toughest matchups tonight for the personnel that we have. And their quarterback won't throw the ball like that every game. But they were, it was enjoyable, and I'm going to enjoy it, and I really appreciate you guys being in there, and go ball.
See you, Freddie.
I think that's so well put, man, and that is just, it's so easy to microanalyze this stuff, Dubsy, but he makes a great point. Mississippi State almost had a disastrous beginning of the half. Share it with the listener, Dubsy.
Southern Miss kind of pooched the opening kickoff, and one of the up backs tried to catch it with his hands up above his head, and it ricocheted off him, and Southern Miss almost jumped on it, but Mississippi State was able to recover. But they start the half, their first drive, around their own 4-yard line.
Let's go back to our phones. All lines are currently jammed. Smartway, Dalton Behring Hydraulic, fifth quarter fan reaction. An opportunity for me to remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that Smartway is sponsoring this program, located at 8416 Kingston Pike, right out near Bearden High School. The Pay Your Way, home of the Pay Your Way, Be Smart, Buy Smart, the Smart Way. And you got to get on the road to ownership, and that's the smart way to go. And there are several ways to do that. You go into their beautiful showroom, and you'll see anything for your home that you need. And they even have phones there and all kinds of stuff and tires, and you name it, they have it. You'd be blow your mind what they have at Smart Way. Furniture, kitchen, you name it, it's there. Televisions, you name it, it's there. The way it works is you can go in, get it today, pay the low retail price, and out the door you go. Or you can go 120 days same as cash, pay the cash price within the 120 days or 6 months, and away you go. Or if you want to do a lease-to-own agreement, you can set it the way you want it to go. In other words, you can make the payments as frequently as you want or as infrequently as you want, and you can change it on the fly and let it roll. And that's why we call it Pay Your Way. And you got to listen to Professor Smarty. He went the smart way, you. So many genius things he learned to do at Smart Way. Go smartway.net online, located 8416 Kingston Pike. Let's go back to our phones. And Mississippi State is trying to get by here in week one with Southern Miss. This is a game they don't want to lose.
Dak Prescott just reeled off about a 50-yarder.
He's quite a talent, isn't he? Mm-hmm. And he's really doesn't have the same type team around him this year. Man, he's a great player. You know, we didn't talk about him earlier. He's a great player in this league. Back to the phones we go. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Tony, how you doing?
Hey, doing great. Thank you.
Like Professor Smarty says, I'm tired of being fed up. I don't want to be fed up. I want to be fed up.
I hear you, brother. And anytime you know the Smart Way jingle, when you talk like that, you mean let's beat Oklahoma this weekend, because I don't want to be fed up. I'm tired of getting set up, and I'm ready to roll.
That's it. So this is Super Porky from Nashville calling.
Talk to me, man, because Dubsy's taking a picture of me in my son ordered one of these Donald Trump hats. And Dubsy just took a picture of me in it, and I look about stupid in it. And he's going to tweet it out, and people are going to see how stupid I look tonight.
Make America great again.
Yes.
Hey, Tony, I think two things from tonight's game. People want to pump the brakes a little bit on the offensive line.
Yes.
I think they're going to be up against a much different program next week. And I think the defensive backs, while they did get kind of torched tonight, I think that's an unusual offense. They release that ball so fast, that quarterback does, that there's really no pass rush of any significance against them. And he's just getting back and firing it and letting it roll. And it's effective, but there are not many teams that do that. What do you think?
I totally agree with that. In fact, I look at it, and I look at the totality of their offense. I think there is people can laugh at this. I think they're as talented offensively as most teams that Tennessee's going to play. Now, Oklahoma's able to run the ball at you probably better than these guys are. Okay, I get that. Alabama's more physical than this team is. Okay, I understand that. I don't know if Alabama has a quarterback play they have, and I don't know that Oklahoma has the depth of wide receiver that those guys have. Those guys are pretty damn good. I'm telling you, that Bowling Green team, they can't play defense at all. But it's like going out there, you know, back in the NBA and back in the day and playing the Denver Nuggets. I mean, they're going to score 120 points on you. It doesn't matter what you do. That's what they did tonight.
I agree. And that kid, he gets the ball and lets it rip. I mean, he's not holding on to it. You're not getting a pass rush on this guy.
No.
And there's just nobody else that does that. I mean, it's unique. It's fun. I like watching it, but anyway, it's just different.
No question. It is different. And it's kind of fun to watch. And you know what it'd be fun to see? If he stays healthy this year coming off that broken hip, I'd hate to have seen Sean what that guy looked like before his hip injury. Part one and part two, if he stays healthy, they're going to put up some unbelievable numbers in their league, Cinco.
He's just a ball player, man. He really is. He didn't get lucky. He didn't have a career game. He just is a ball player. He knows his offense. He knows what he's good at. He knows where to go with the ball. He makes great decisions. I didn't remember any time where he had a read, you know, handoff and messed it up. I mean, obviously they had the fumble there, but, you know, he made correct decisions. I mean, I love Dobbs, but I'd love that guy to play for us. I mean, not over Dobbs, but you know what I mean. We'd be in good hands with him.
Tony, can I ask a question about,
go ahead,
and I thought Dobbs looked good, but Dormandy to me looks really special. And I just wonder if there's not going to be something kind of creeping up in the back of everybody's mind about Dormandy versus Dobbs. Any thoughts on that?
I absolutely, no, that's not going to happen, but I think Dormandy is going to be really tremendous. I really do. People that sell him short and talk about how he's not this and not this, not a fitness offense, bull. He is a great player. I can promise you right now, you name me a team that's on Tennessee's schedule, and he can start for most of them. Right now. Right this second. Alabama, he started Alabama. I can promise you right now, he would start at Alabama. He would start at Georgia. He would start at Vanderbilt. Kentucky's toss up. I would imagine he's better than Brandon Allen. I think he would start there. I'm telling you, that kid is going to be a great, great player here.
Hey, what about John Kelly? Were you happy with him?
And, oh, wow.
And what he,
nice.
I mean, he's a nice third stringer.
That's your third string back? I mean, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Is this guy recruiting or what?
It's special. So, anyway, I don't read a lot into tonight's game. That's a weird game. It's a weird team for us to play. But I just think they're going to be fine moving forward.
I couldn't agree with you more. I appreciate the call. Thank you. In fact, it hasn't changed my opinion about the Oklahoma game at all. Has it changed your opinion about the Oklahoma game, Russell, tonight? You're starting to urinate me off.
Why is that?
Because you're getting ready to say you're worried about it.
I was worried about it before. I'm worried about it still.
And you're pissing me off. I mean, why? Live in your hopes, man.
I prefer to live in reality. And I don't know what reality is, man. I think Tennessee has an excellent chance to win. I just don't think that it's realistic at this point to expect Tennessee to go out and put the clamps down
Fair.
On Oklahoma.
Fair.
You're going to have to win. You're going to have to put the... put some points on the board next week.
I think it's realistic to think Tennessee can win. It's kind of like the Eastern Division.
Sure.
It's realistic to think you can win. It's not realistic to expect.
No, not yet.
But Oklahoma is low-hanging fruit because they're slipping. They've slipped. They're coming off a five-loss season. And this is a spot for them to get beat. Sean, isn't that right? I mean, this is a spot for them to get beat. Just
it
like
is
Ole Miss.
A spot for them.
Just
yeah,
like,
but I don't see how anybody could confidently predict a win. I would ask, you know, based on what? I think it's going to be two evenly matched teams, and should be a good game.
Yeah, I'm thinking that home.
You gonna
field.
Call for it? You calling for it?
I'm thinking that home field is going to have something to do with it, and I'm thinking that Beano's deal of we must get this back, we must take back the home field. Look, if you're going to have a legitimate college football program, you got to win games in your building. Period. End of sentence.
It's a chance to make such a big statement and to plant your flag and say we're back. I mean, if you lose it, I don't think it's going to be some huge...
Well,
I think people just say, you know, it's Tennessee. They're not back yet. But if you win it, I think everybody takes notice around the college football landscape.
Yeah. It jumps you. I think it can bust you up a year or two. I think it can bump you up a year. Sideline bust them up. Great Tony Robinson. Let's go to back to the phones and get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hey guys, back again. Hey, Adam, back again. Sorry, I think I hit a dead spot somewhere.
Yeah, my life at times has been a dead spot, so I know what you're saying.
I think we've all been there, done that. Hey,
interesting.
One more thing, I want to top off the medley thing real quick. That was, I don't know what's called that or the fact what you know what Hernandez said when Brady visited him on his visit at the prison.
When
who's your judge? What was your judge's name again?
that's pretty good. Tom Brady, I would say, has lived a pretty charmed life. Something tells me Tom Brady wouldn't be missing from 35 yards out today. I mean, have you ever seen a guy?
That was pretty comical.
I would say that poor medley today. Thank God he made the third one. Can you guys imagine if he'd have missed that third one, what we'd be talking about right now with him? Because they are relief pitchers. Kickers, as sure as I'm sitting here, are relief pitchers, and you're only as good as your last game.
After he missed those two, I wonder if Butch, and I know he would never admit this publicly, but I wonder if he didn't think about maybe sending Bullock out for the
next
game.
There's no way. Then you start a circus if you do that.
Hey, real quick, I'll have to go back. Let me rewind to Thursday night. It was a great night in Johnson City, bringing back ETSU football. You had a Knoxville native, Austin East grad, Carl Torbush leading the way. I know the Bucks didn't come out with a win, but
he's a great man. Carl Torbush is one of my all-time favorites. I love him. I've had him on my show several times. I love him. Love him.
I think he's what the program needs. Kennesaw was, when you're in downtown Atlanta, right in the smack middle of, you can get speed anytime you want. But Coach Fulmer was there.
Neat.
He's been a great addition to the ETSU football. And, of course, former DB Teddy Gaines doing a great job with the ETSU football. But,
that's so neat. You know, I'm really proud of those guys, just like I'm proud of Marcus Satterfield today, the offensive coordinator at Temple, who comes from Greenback. I called Marcus's games when he was in high school. That's how old I am. And it's so great to see him having success. It's great to see Carl Torbush get that opportunity. I'm going to tell you something. We're really proud of Steve Forbes, too, who is a guy on Bruce Pearl's staff who I think is going to do a great job at ETSU in basketball. So all the way around, two thumbs up. I've always kind of loved the Bucks from afar, and I will cheer for East Tennessee State every step of the way, my friend.
And aside of that, Dale Jones has made a name for himself at that state.
I love Dale Jones. I can't say enough good things about him. Another guy I've had on the show several times. Passionate Vol, loves his Vols. Would not surprise me if he's listening to us right now.
I'm not a legend, I'm family.
And that's what he told Sean and myself. I said, I said, Dale, you're an absolute legend. What are you doing bothering with me? And he said, Tony, I'm family. I'm not a legend. Come on.
I guess
great line.
Going back to today's game, there seems like there's been more negative comments about positive. I think that's just going on the passion and the fan base.
Yeah.
The excitement around this program. Everybody's real fired up about this. Let's be honest, this was a long anticipated offseason. Everybody's just ready to get going. Yesterday, it really felt like Christmas Eve to all the Ball Nation. Everybody was so pumped up, ready to today. You can feel it on the internet, on the call-in shows, even on tonight. Hell, I mean, it's after midnight and the phone lines are jammed. So, I mean,
jammed.
Great, great passionate fan base we got here. I mean, and that's great to Butch and the staff are getting fired up. So,
well, you know, and here's the other thing. I mean, let's be honest about it, okay? Most people thought we were going to beat this team 59-14. I think most people were really surprised that midway through the third quarter, they come out after the thunderstorm and go down and score. And it's actually, as we like to say, the game's in doubt. Most people are shocked by that. And then the way Tennessee looked defensively, I get it. I knew people were going to be upset after that game. I think it's just, to me, it makes sense that people be upset after that game. Look, one thing about me, I've never been the type to pee down your back and tell you it's raining. I'm not that type of person. I mean, tonight's game was kind of scary at times. It was.
As bad, you know, as negative as people talking about it, we had two touchdowns called back.
That's true.
We missed two field goals. You know, look, Marquess North didn't catch a pass. Our best, most productive receiver was Juwan Jennings, and he's been a receiver for a month.
A month.
Tig Howard didn't play.
Nope.
Khalil McKenzie didn't see time. Of course, I know everybody's anticipated about that. Kurt Majette was pretty quiet. Jalen Ruse-Maben, he had nine tackles, but it was a quiet nine. Derek Barnett didn't hear his name. Cam Sutton, of course, they didn't throw to him, his side much. Some of our top performers, you know, they were very quiet. So that could be a good thing in a way.
You know, I totally agree. Look, Tennessee did what they had to do tonight to win and nothing else. And that's okay. There's a place for that, right?
And, you know, Bowling Green, nobody saw this coming. Oklahoma's going to take a page or two out of this Bowling Green offense. I'd be shocked if Bob Stoops if he didn't.
I don't know if they're capable.
If he wouldn't.
I don't know if they're capable. I'm with Sean. I don't know if they're capable. Now, maybe they are. And maybe they will. I would. I would test those. I would test the soft corner, as we say, all day long. I don't know how soft it is.
Bowling Green has some big, tall, rangy receivers, and they took advantage of our DBs.
Bowling Green has better personnel offensively than most teams are going to play. People don't want to hear that. It's the truth.
Tony's going to have this Bowling Green quarterback going number one overall in the draft next year before the show's over.
That's just nonsense. You're a clown.
Looking over today, just going around the SEC, obviously Ole Miss. Yeah, they beat the nobody by 70 points. I know Florida, they played New Mexico State, but Jim Alcorn, you got to credit him a little bit. He did open up the offense, something Muschamp never did.
Yep.
It took Alabama a while, but they finally start putting Wisconsin. I picked A&M to beat Arizona State, but they kind of really
put
away them in the end, which kind of shocked me. I really didn't see Vandy beating Western Kentucky. And,
Barrett Salee might be right. He's picking Tennessee and Texas A&M in the conference championship game, and A&M looked like a world beater tonight. That's a shocking result that they would win like that in that game. Shocking result.
There's like John Chavis. John Chavis is probably one of the top five DCOs in college football.
No question about it. I'm a big John Chavis guy.
He's not much of a recruiter, but probably not a great interview, but the guy can draw up a defense.
Yeah, that's why the guy will never get a head coaching job and never really even got consideration because he just kind of grunts when he talks and all that stuff. He's just an old school football coach, you know?
Auburn kind of shocked me. I thought they would kind of put away at Louisville in the end. Arkansas, I mean, Britt Bielma, run the football, pound it.
I love it.
He's just going to wear you down physical.
Yeah.
And that's what really the game's all about.
I love it. It's, to me, he's like a great rhythm section in a rock and roll band. They're just there. They're pounding on you. Pounding, pounding, pounding. Appreciate the phone call. Thank you, man. And it's like good old time rock and roll. There's always going to be a place for what Brett Bielema likes to do. always going to be a place for that. Cinco, the more these offenses get pretty and pretty and pretty and pretty, there's always going to be a place for taking the big uglies up front and exerting your will on somebody.
Gets down to man on man.
I love watching Arkansas play when they get that run rolling.
Again, I think that's kind of what Butch Jones saw in bringing DeBoard back in, is he wanted to get more physical, and you saw that tonight. They only threw 22 times. They lined up and ran it for the most part. And maybe
stock
it was
still
vanilla.
I loved it.
I don't know that we're going to see a ton of wrinkles this year.
Stock still lined up out there. I love saying it. We got a huge play from Southern Miss. Let's go back to my busy phones. 865-200-5402. Cinco, do you believe all three lines are still jammed or no? Do you believe that?
Absolutely. The pad, best fan base in America.
It's crazy. Smartway Dalton Bearing Hydraulic, fifth quarter fan reaction. Hello and welcome.
Yeah, what's going on? It's Dustin.
Hey, D.
Hey, coming out of that lightning delay, did it not kind of feel like a little bit in the first few plays, like a rewind to Oregon a few years ago?
I hadn't thought about it from that perspective, but yeah, I mean, there's an epidemic of lightning delays. Florida State, Georgia, LSU, Tennessee, all impacted by the weather today.
I just thought it was kind of strange because going into right before the break, Tennessee was, they had a couple little drives, had a couple three and outs on them. Then all of a sudden, you know, the lightning break is what, hour and what, 57 minutes or so?
Coming back,
it was a little flat. I just thought it was weird, but like you guys were saying, you know, the first game, everybody's overanalyzing again. But, Sean, you were talking about it a minute ago with, Colton Jumper at middle linebacker. What can Tennessee do to, I guess, stop the bleeding?
You gotta get Kirkland in there. I wasn't impressed with the way Jumper read the play. He was not physical whatsoever. No offense to the kid. I mean, great story, but I'm just not seeing what he brings. Especially if he's gonna face a power running game, he's a duck out of water there.
Yeah, because if you sit back and really think about it, he probably knows the playbook and all that. You know, like you said, a great story, but somebody who knows the playbook and can actually execute, I think it's kind of an apples and oranges comparison if you think about it. I mean, he looked lost, he was out of place a lot, and he wasn't physical. So,
well, I'm back to this, though. Against Oklahoma, you going to throw a freshman out there in that game? Be your traffic cop,
Sean? Yeah,
why not?
Well, I mean, what are you getting from Jumper? I'd rather have another DB out there than him.
You're going to have guys out of position all night. If he's on somebody calling those signals, how are you going to manage that?
I'm sure he can do it. It's a front seven. It's not like you're doing some kind of Chinese math or something out there.
Cinco!
You think it was more of that, or just, you know, he was super nervous about his first actually getting playing time and stuff like that? Is it something he can bounce back from, or is that just something you either have or you don't?
That play where I've been following Tennessee football closely for 30 years now. I've never seen a middle linebacker explode, including Al Wilson, like Kirkland did going to get that quarterback that, you know, some people thought it was a touchdown. He absolutely read the play and exploded at 235, 240 pounds. The kid's a great athlete.
Oh, absolutely. Gus, I'm gonna get off here with somebody else. Good show.
Thank you, Dustin. Have a great night. 865-200-5402. Dubsy, tell them where you're from, brother, where they can hear you.
94.3 Knox Talk Radio. I'm on weekdays from 3 to 6, and we stream online at knoxtalkradio.com and TuneIn Radio, all that good stuff.
12:27 in the Eastern Time, and we're still with you. Couple notes from today's game. First of all, Dobbs, 15 of 22, 205, two touchdowns. Jennings, the leading receiver tonight, had three catches, 56 yards. Most points in a game since 2009, that unbelievably awful Memphis team Tennessee played. 392 yards on the ground, the most since South Carolina last year. Several freshmen played, and several newcomers played, including Dormady, Kelly, McKenzie, Tuttle, Jennings, Williams, Kirkland, Abernathy, Hall, Jones, Blair. Last time Tennessee had two running backs plus 100 yards was Hardesty and Brown against Western Kentucky in 2009.
Kiffin year.
Let's see here. Trevor Daniel did a nice job punting for Tennessee tonight. Game featured an hour and 20-minute delay. Preston Williams was targeted twice in the opening drive of the second half. Just a couple notes I made here. On the, how about Juwan Jennings was on the kickoff team early on, along with Mike Abernathy and Darren Kirkland. So they figure in the rotation in significant ways. Six DBs used tonight off the jump. Sutton, Mosley, Foreman, Abernathy, Randolph, Berry. And Sean, to your point, they saw early on, we've got to go to this formation. What we thought we were going to do isn't going to work here.
Look, they, nothing I saw today is was in any of the games I watched
last year. And they get credit for that.
And I thought Mike Abernathy showed up and played well. I mean, he wasn't all world or anything, but
agreed.
You know, he didn't have. Remember, he didn't play much cornerback in high school.
Willie Martinez, I almost called him Willie Hernandez. Willie Martinez suspended for the, I think that's this Donald Trump hat that does that to me. Willie Martinez suspended for the game due to a recruiting violation. Steven Smith, a defensive quality control coach, took over defensive backs today. Evan Berry got the start at safety. TK Jr. in the hospital for a lot of the week with an infection, and Butch Jones said after the game that he did in fact have his tonsils taken out a couple days ago, and he was on the field tonight. He gets a lot of credit for that. Medley, not even close on his first two field goal attempts. That's something to watch as we go along. And then on Josh Dobbs, I thought his presence tonight in the pocket, moving, was really, really good. He made a couple of plays that were really special. He's way better at the quarterback position than personally I ever dreamed he would be. I'm just going to be honest.
He's bigger too. Did he not look big?
He's a lot bigger. He's a lot bigger. Oh, yeah. Cinco. That's a great observation. Back to the phones we go. Anything, Russell, before we go?
What do you have? 15 carries with 12 or 15? About a few more than I'd have liked to have seen, but yet, I mean, the game was in question. You had to throw your offense out there.
Well, and it was almost like at one point he was like, I'm going to get mine.
Yeah, he didn't run until about midway through the second quarter.
Yeah, which is cool. I mean, he's a guy that wants to mix it up. And yeah, I agree with you. Let's go back to the phones. I think it was really well handled. I think the coaches did a nice job with tonight's game. Defensively, obviously, there were a few things that you'd like to have seen, but oh well, nothing's perfect.
Well, how about Oregon giving up 42 points to Eastern Washington?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not just Tennessee's defense. I mean, I think Eastern Washington, that may be a 1AA team, is it not?
I think that's right.
The team, are they the ones that play on the red field?
Yeah, that is right.
Maybe, yeah.
And you know what? I think Washington State's going to be relegated. maybe they'll
going down to the championship.
Yeah. Wasn't that Cattleman's boy?
That was his boy. Oh, Cattleman, him and that Tedford guy who's now on ESPN.
That's right.
Let's go back to the phones. But Tedford, though, he looked like Coach from Coach. Back to the phones we go. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
It's Will. How you doing?
Hey, Will. Great to talk to you tonight, man.
Tony, how you doing, buddy?
Will, if I was any better, I'd be hanging out and kicking it with you tonight, brother.
Hey, brother, did you see Super Porky?
Yeah, I did. That was great, man. Thanks.
That was all time.
It was all time right there on Twitter, right?
Yeah. Oh, I sent two texts. But anyway, hey, listen, I'm sitting down here with BK from Nashville. Got back from a game, and, you know, I tell you what, Dormady, I'm going to tell you, he may make a run next year. He is huge. Good kid. I wish I let him throw a little bit more at the end, but.
Well, he's not, and listen, he, as long as Dobbs is on this campus, he's not going to play.
Why?
What do you mean, why?
I'm asking.
Because Dobbs is a quarterback, and he's the leader of the team.
Well, I understand that, but Doherty absolutely looks like he looks absolutely wonderful back behind in the pocket. He can't take too much for tonight, but he is huge.
Oh,
he's a big kid.
I love
and
him.
He's fast. Okay.
He ran the
option like he should run it. Everybody should.
If Dobbs stays healthy for the most part these next 2 years, that's going to be a heck of a battle in 2017 between Dormady and Sherron Jones, and Garantano, and Hunter Johnson.
You. Okay. So y'all giving that to you're letting it go on that. So I understand that. That's a good point. But I tell you what, I mean, he's bigger. He's 6'3", 230. Is that what it is?
Yeah, but you listen to what you're saying. You're telling me
we got a quarterback controversy.
The guy's a senior. The
backup
guy will be
quarterback's
a senior
most
next year.
Most popular guy on the team.
Now, here's the thing about it: in Butch Jones's offense, chances are Josh Dobbs isn't going to make it through the whole season without missing a play here or there, a down here or there, a series here or there, a quarter here or there, a game here or there. Who knows? But as for just coming in and beating him out in camp. Brother, it doesn't matter if John Elway's behind him. That's not going to happen.
Well, I don't see it. I really don't, because Dobbs cannot throw the ball. Did you see the first half?
Sinclair, what do you say to that? I mean, I just think it's just a matter of procedure. It's just not going to happen. Sinclair, what do you think?
You don't have the running game of Kamara and Hurd without the threat of Dobbs taking off. Like that. I mean, I would not call Dormady a mobile quarterback. He can run. He can scramble a little bit, but Dobbs makes the linebackers, the defensive ends, and the safeties play on their heels because he's a threat to take it every time.
Are you seriously thinking that Dormady's not faster than Dobbs?
Oh, no, not even close. No way.
Oh, there's no way. I've seen him in person. I've seen him on camp. I respectfully disagree, Doctor. But, I really think that, he will give a challenge next year to Dobbs' job. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing, right? Right?
Absolutely. Competition's good. I hope he progresses to that level where there is competition. That'd be great.
Well, he's got an arm that is off the charts. I mean, I've seen him throw in camp and I've seen him throw through this whole deal, and he's got the real deal arm, Holyfield. And I just don't think Dobbs has the arm to get where we need to be. But I think Dobbs is going to be, he is situated there. He's going to be quarterback for whatever, but I mean, I think he's got a great arm. I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry. I think he's a great player.
I'm glad they're both on our team.
Josh Dobbs, you gotta understand something, though. He's a rocket scientist.
Leader. I like Josh Jobs.
And let me tell you something about Dobbsy.
Josh Jobs is great.
Let me tell you something about Dobbsy. He is a team leader. He's the first guy in the weight room.
Yeah.
He's the last guy to leave the weight room. He's very vocal behind the scenes. You know, it's not just that position at that position. There's a lot more to it. And I'm not saying the other guy's not going to have it eventually, but he just doesn't have that floor right now. He just doesn't. He's a kid. And it's great that we love on him and we're excited about him, and I'm glad he's here, and I hope he sticks it out, because I think he's going to be a very good player. And I'll tell you something. I think he's a guy, and I'm not one of these Sunday guys. That's a guy that could play NFL football someday as a quarterback. There's no doubt about that.
I'll say this, Tony, and we know the injury history with the QBs.
Sure.
If Dormady comes in and has to start a couple of games at some point, and he is more accurate than Dobbs, as some of his have suspected, I think it could be interesting to see what happens in the offseason there.
There's no doubt about it.
Oh, God. From what standpoint? He's a leader. You guys are nuts.
If the athleticism is similar and he's more accurate.
The athleticism is not similar. What are you guys talking about?
Listen to this guy. He's seen it in person.
He's got a hammer of an arm.
Yeah.
He's got a hammer. 20 yards out hammered. On the money where Dobbs cannot. I don't think it's going to be this year, but I think it will be next year that we get in this conversation. I promise you, I think we'll be having this conversation next year. And by the way, Tony, George Plaster said hello to you.
George Plaster's a good man. You tell that man he's
a
good man.
He's a great man. I'm next door to him, and he said hello.
You tell Plaster, in our business, only the strong survive, brother, and he'll know what you're talking about.
Hey, he is strong.
You got it.
He's been doing it.
He's been through it. He's been through it a time or 20.
God, a time of 20 cumulus.
Thank you, brother.
How about that?
Hey, have a great day. Good talking to you.
Hey, Tony, take care, bud.
Yep, Georgie needs to get on his own like I am. This is the dream. I got no boss. I'm the boss. Nobody tell me what to do. I tell me what to do. Somebody asked me tonight.
This is D says hello.
Somebody asked me tonight. They said, "What time are you done?" I said, "When I want to be." How long does the show go? As long as I want it to go.
You think Dosh Jobs is in bed yet?
And people thought I was kidding. We're way past 3 hours right now. Way past. We're working on 4 right now. 865-200-5402. We got somebody who wants to replace Josh Dobbs.
Bear says it's good to hear Quentin Dormady's dad calling to the show.
Oh, my God.
And not only that, I mean, I love Dormady, but, I mean, he had one pass and he made a meal of that one. I can't believe Dobbs is so underappreciated.
You think it's the people like me and him that are just eyebrow challenged? You think that's what it is? Because I feel underappreciated, Sink. I'm on here pouring my heart out. It's 1 o'clock in the morning.
I think you get the proper amount of adulation.
No, TR just attacked me on a Twitter.
You didn't play his song, man.
Off. JJ's mad at me. JJ in the mid-state. I got people upset with me. They didn't get enough time tonight. I think it's the eyebrow thing, personally. Let's go back to the phones. 865-200-5402. As it looks like Mississippi State, it's a big win for them, going down there to Southern Miss and winning. And I know Southern Miss isn't very good, but Mississippi State, again, they're on that cut line. They're kind of like Kentucky. Kentucky's on that cut line for 6-6. Hey, that was a huge win for Kentucky tonight, Dubs. We can laugh at that if we want.
I will.
Broke a 7-game losing streak, didn't it?
Yep.
Wow. That's really... They gave that guy a $3 million raise, and he went out and lost 7 straight games. And we beat his brains in last year and made him like it. Let's go to the phones. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome to your Smart Way Dalton Bearing... Dalton Bearing Hydraulic 5th Quarter Fan Reaction. Hello and welcome.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, Rajay. What's up, man?
How's it going, man? How's it going?
No question.
Hi.
Doing great, buddy.
Good. It's good to see one of hey, Sick Bear. Hey, Russell, how you doing tonight? How you both doing tonight?
The Raj.
What do you say, pretty boy?
Not much. Not much, Cinco. Ask y'all. I just wanted to say first, I was happy to see winning tonight, and last night now, we won last night, and I was happy with the effort, and defense was okay at times. It was good. I was hoping for a better. It's okay though. I think we'll be okay. But the offense, I thought offense done good, and I thought Mike DeBoer was good tonight, like that. So that was great. And just wanted to ask y'all about our team. Do you all feel better about the team, or do you think it's still a wait and see?
I drew nothing from today. So, no.
Yeah.
I will draw no conclusions until this team plays Oklahoma next week. And even then, they're too young.
Right. Yeah.
You know, they're too young. They're too young. And so if you win next week, great. If you don't, here's my thing. If you go out next week and you compete, you play well, and you have a chance to win, you don't, I'm okay with that. If you go out next week and you compete, you play well, and these coaches do boneheaded things like Cinco was talking about, and they fall asleep in the middle two-thirds of that game, I'm going to get pissed off, and I'm going to snap next week because this is really a winnable game. Now, I'm not expecting to win, but if they do stupid things, Raji, in this game, I'm going to rage in my cage. I'm going to go crazy next week because we need to win this game. We need this town to come back to life. We need this market to come back to life. We need this place to feel good about itself. We're kind of in East Tennessee, a little engine that could. And we need to rise up together. We need to walk together. We need to walk those golden streets. We need to get back to where we come from. You know what I'm saying? We are stardust, Raj. We are golden. And we are here. You know, and we've got to get ourselves back to the garden. We've got to get ourselves back to 98. We've got to get ourselves back to 95, 96, 97. We've got to get ourselves back to the garden, Raj.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And
you ever felt like that? You ever felt like that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not talking about going back to Yasgur's farm. I'm just talking about getting back. Let's get back to where we can belong.
Right.
By the time we got to Neyland, we were half a million strong.
There you go.
Yeah. Hey, Russell, rushing with other Russell by defense, What do you think the defense can learn from what happened tonight and get better?
Yeah, I mean, I hope so. I guess if you're looking for a positive to extrapolate here, it's that maybe, you know, that secondary wasn't a major concern for folks coming in. They get exposed a little bit. Now maybe it's a wake-up call before you take on Oklahoma.
Right. Yeah. How about you, Cinco? You think they can get better, Cinco?
Roger, I got a question for you before you go anywhere.
What's that?
Don't worry about Cinco. Cinco's probably sleeping.
All right.
Raj, did Dubsy cut you off the other day for doing a doc imitation on his show? I mean, I don't like to do business with his program on this program, but your doc imitation is really good.
Yeah,
Russell, you don't like his doc imitation?
Yeah, I was kind of proud about that. I asked Russell about it. If I did that, he said, just go ahead, and if I done it, he took me off. Now we have a different philosophy.
I know, Roger, you're a flamethrower and everything, but it's just not my style to be critical of people on the radio.
We're critical.
Raj, I'd like you to go ahead while Russell has the headphones on, because he can't cut you off in this format. So for the listeners not listening to us, there's a host in town does a morning show. His name's The Doc. And he's Mickey Dearstone. And Roger calls his program. Roger's affectionate with Mickey Dearstone. They love each other. Oh, that poor kid just blew his knee out. God, I hate seeing that. I hate seeing college athletes get hurt.
Hopefully it's a cramp.
Hopefully it's a cramp. Hopefully it's a cramp. Hopefully it's a cramp.
Hopefully it's nothing major.
Oh, God, I hate seeing kids go down their knees. No, it's not okay. I want you to go ahead and bust some doc. Ask the question of Cinco in your doc voice. That's not a cramp. That guy just got his knee just.
Cinco, do you think he can learn from what happened and get better, Cinco?
Yeah, I do. I don't think our running game is as good as it looked today. I think it's somewhere in the middle there, and I don't think our pass defense is as bad as it looked.
All right.
Do some, hey, do some Tony Basilio on the way out here.
Yes.
Raj, I love you. We love you.
Okay, love you. I'll see y'all. Bye.
Oh my gosh.
The Raj has left the building.
I think I'm gonna like literally. I don't know. Oklahoma, Oklahoma only rushed for 100 yards tonight. 33 carries, 3.0 yards per carry average. Huh? I'm not ready.
They're wasting some great tailbacks.
Hey, you know what? They haven't performed there the last couple of years, Sean. It's not for recruiting hardware, right? The guy's got recruiting hardware.
He's got some talent, no question.
Kind of like, hey, what about this guy at Memphis? They won 63-7 tonight against Missouri State. That son of a gun can coach, can he?
Justin Fuente can coach. He's got some other good coaches there. I mean, that's a coffin for a resume.
Mm-hmm.
And so if he can keep it up, he should be looking to get out this year.
I wonder if things don't work out, Mississippi State. I might be one to.
They were number one in America last year. What are you talking about?
Well, there was some talk that if the Reverend Freeze would have gone to Florida, that they would have given Fuente a call.
Sure.
Reverend Freeze. I love him. Let's go back to the phones. I love the fan shots, don't you? Let's go back to our phones and get our next call in. Hello and welcome on our Smartway Dalton Bearing Hydraulic fifth quarter fan reaction. Welcome in.
What's happening, Chief?
Hey, how you doing, brother?
Man, I'm doing great. What's up, guys? Dubs?
Brock, hey, Doc. What's up, man?
Man, not a lot. Just got back into town for the ball game. And Basilio, just for the venue first. And, of course, I've been to the Taj Mahal a couple of times out at Jerry World. And basically, this Titan Stadium, it'd be like comparing Dudley Field to Neyland Stadium, just to be perfectly. And that place has no soul, not for college football anyway.
Nope.
I know why we did it. I like why we did it, because we're recruiting so heavily over there. That's a smart move on our part. But to see a game there, nah, not me anymore.
That's it? That's it for you? Because I get the feeling from a lot of people tonight, the accounts we're getting, Brock, and I don't know if you've heard, are, I don't want to see us do that again.
Well, you know, I want it to be, here's the deal, though, Basilio. Like next year, you know, we're playing a good team, and, it's a completely different environment. That'll be cool. You know, we play in Atlanta in a couple of years against Tech. That'll be a damn tough ball game. I mean, let's face it. And then if we do sign up for that West Virginia game over in Charlotte, you know, that's another really good opponent. But this today, and maybe just the heat of the day and all that kind of took away from it, too. But like I said, it just felt like the place had no soul to it. You know, that's just the way it felt to me. So
to me, I don't play college football in pro stadiums. That's
yeah, I'm kind of with you there. So I'm certainly looking forward to being back in Neyland next week. So, hey, guys, do you know the story behind this Baker Mayfield and how he got to Oklahoma?
Share it with us.
Well, after he left Tech, you know, he got disgruntled his freshman year and left Tech. He showed up in Oklahoma on his own. Stoops and those guys didn't even know he was. They didn't invite him. They didn't offer him. He just showed up there on his own. That's where he wanted to play.
My gosh, that kind of gives me chills.
No scholarship.
Well, he was a walk-on at Texas Tech.
Yeah, he was a walk-on at Tech, and then, you know, he just went to Oklahoma. So that's where I want to play football. They didn't even know it.
And that's why he's able to do what he did, because there's no letter of intent involved, right?
Well, he had to sit out. Now, I guess, you know, Tony, I can't keep up with those rules. But, you know, and Trevor Knight, he's a good athlete, but he was a one-hit wonder as far as I'm concerned in that Bama game. And I wish he was their quarterback instead of this guy next week, to be perfectly honest. But anyway, if we can, you know, that running game's not so great next week. I think that'll be a big advantage if we can shut them down even anywhere close to 100 yards as far as I'm concerned. But, guys, really looking at this defensive backfield, and I know it's easy to pick them, particularly Matt Mosley today, and I was as frustrated as anybody that watched it from the Tennessee perspective. But, you know, if you go back and look backed up the wheels about 3 weeks ago, you're looking at three starters out with McNeil and Golden out for the year. And then and before Justin Martin's injury, I think he was going to be penciled in as a starter too. So, you just kind of got to take it right now. So,
hey, Brock,
I thought they did get better in the second half.
Let me ask you something about Oklahoma, because this is really the million-dollar question that's lingering out there that we're going to wonder about all week, and you're as good a person to ask as anybody. You follow them. Tennessee's your favorite team. They're your second favorite team. This would be like Tennessee playing Temple this weekend for me.
Yeah.
When you look at Oklahoma, do they have the number of receivers to do what Bowling Green did to Tennessee tonight? In other words, can they throw four or five guys out there and spread us out? And
well, that's a great question, Basilio. And let me first say this. I love that Johnson kid as a quarterback, and he made some great throws, and even at Didier, number four for them. And they just had some nice receivers. So they did a really good job. So hats off to those guys. I'd have to go back and look at OU's game, and I know you really can't put a lot of stock on playing Akron, but I know, of course, Sterling Shepard. Now, that guy's a ball player. There's no doubt about that. He's one of the best receivers in the country. And, they really like a JUCO kid they brought in, D.D. Westbrook. I don't know what kind of game he had today. And they have another guy that's kind of a hybrid. It's a freshman named Mark Andrews. He's about 6'5", 240. And I think he's fast enough to play a little wide out, but yet he plays some tight end type stuff. And then a big, tall 6'6" kid in, Jeffrey Mead. And then Duron Neal. Those are probably the best top four or five guys on their football team from the wideout perspective. So, just not seeing their game at all today, I still say focus on that run game, man, because, I just think that'll be the key. If we can shut that down a little bit, I think, they may throw for 400 yards like this bunch tonight, but I still think we'll beat them. If we can shut down the run game, and then also they're really, that Ross kid, Alex Ross, is a really dangerous kick returner too. So, and Shepard's good at punt returns. So we'll have to be on our A game next week in the kicking game pretty much like we were today. I mean, just the hidden yardage we had today was phenomenal.
I love it.
What Sutton and Barry did. So.
I love that. That's college football. You got to get those yards. You got to take advantage. Sutton looks so great as a punt returner. The thing I love about him, guys, is there's no dallying with the football. He is right up the field, and he's got great instincts.
He's really smart, too, Basilio. Yep. He's just a smart punt returner, too. He's, his instincts on letting balls go and that type of thing.
He's a hell of a player, man. I love him.
Hey, I got, also, Basilio, before I get off here, I just got to say that guy a couple of callers ago, I think he had a swing out in the state of Colorado today and then got the Virginian partook on one of few of those 76 beers they took down that they've been talking about. I think Dormady's going to be a hell of a player. I absolutely do. But you can't say from a running perspective that he's in Dobbs' class, man. I mean, that's just, come on, that's ridiculous. And Dobbs, the dog said it a little bit ago, man. He makes everything easier for Hurd and Kamara and those guys. I mean, just that threat.
Well, I like Cinco's observation, too, just about how much bigger that kid has gotten.
Oh, yeah, he's worked hard.
Wow.
You can tell it. And
he's a leader.
I didn't see anything wrong with his. I mean, he might have had a couple of bad throws today, but hell, that was a couple of those across the middle. You talked about Malone, the one that he should have caught. He threw a cannon shot to Pearson on a long play there, and then that was Wolf made a nice catch, but that was a nice throw across the middle for the touchdown.
And he also had a couple touchdown call back, if you guys will remember, because of blocks.
Exactly right.
Field.
Exactly
so.
Right.
Hold on a second before you leave, Brock. Last year, Tony, you asked me, do I believe in the term gamer? And I don't believe in the term gamer, except for the fact that, and we may have different definitions, I don't believe a guy can all of a sudden do something in a game that he couldn't do in practice. I don't. But what I do think in Josh Dobbs is, if you're going to ask him to stand 30 yards away, flat-footed, and put it in a bucket, or if you're going to ask him to do this and that, that's not his game. That's not his game. The beauty of his game is scrambling around and making things happen, and you just don't see that in practice. It's like a, Iverson or something like that. It's when he breaks people down.
And that's where it's all about. So if you want to call that a gamer, then I would agree with that, because you can't simulate and practice what you do in a game. And that's where he really shines.
Hey, and I'm going to jump off, guys. I just want to say I really loved the running game today. Of course, I halfway expect, I didn't know if I'd expect that many yards, but I Bowen Green's just not very, very good at all on defense, so I thought we would be successful there. But, man, Kamara's got a different gear. It looks like Kelly has got that as well. But I tell you, Jalen Hurd, I think he's maybe in the fourth quarter on that 94-yard